Amen. Thank you. The Pats Club meets every Wednesday night, 7:15pm till 8:30pm. So parents, let me encourage you concerning this little program. There's an emphasis there on music, of course, as you've seen, and also on devotional life. So well worth the effort to bring your children out to it. They will benefit as a result of being a part of the Patch Club. Let's take our Bibles this morning and turn to the book of Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. I'd like for us to read verse 27, and then we'll move to Genesis chapter 2, verses 24 and 25. Genesis chapter 1, verse 27 reads, "So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them." Chapter 2, please, verses 24 and 25. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed." Let's bow for prayer. Heavenly Father, we ask now that your Holy Spirit would lead us into truth. Lord, give us an understanding of your eternal principles and the practical application thereof. We might walk in obedience to your word, that we might stand for your word, that we might honor your word. In the name of Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. With these verses this morning, I'd like to address an issue this morning. It's called the problem of sodomy. The problem of sodomy. With events like the gay Mardi Gras, we're confronted by an aggressive push for acceptance of the sodomite lifestyle. The premise is summed up in the words of the new Liberal MP for North Sydney, Mr. Trent Zimmerman, who said, I quote, "Sexuality is as innate as the colour of your skin." The word innate means natural, or born that way. So in other words, Mr. Zimmerman said and believes, and this is the problem of sodomy today, that we are born with a skin colour, so likewise we are born with an attraction to either the same gender, or some are attracted to the opposite agenda. Sodomy, to Mr. Zimmerman, is a birth issue, not a lifestyle choice. Now, this logic is not biblical, and also it is not scientifically proven. It is not a biblical, it has no biblical base, and it is not scientifically proven that your sexuality is as innate as the colour of your skin. The Bible teaches it is a lifestyle choice, not a birth issue. And this lifestyle choice of sodomy is contrary to the blessing of God. It is sinful to God. And this is clearly spelled out within the pages of the Word of God. So I'd like to address this morning the problem of sodomy. The first principle I'd like for us to note this morning is that sodomy is contrary to God's original design. Sodomy is contrary to God's original design. Here in Genesis chapter 1, verse number 27, the Bible teaches us that we've been created in His image, according to His wise design. And the Bible teaches us here in Genesis chapter 1, verse 27, in the image of God created He him. Male and female created He them. Our gender is evident in how we have been created. God made no mistakes. He did not create a woman with a man's body parts. He did not create a man with woman's body parts. God has no need of recall. He is God. He doesn't make mistakes. So to say that I am a woman trapped in a male body is simply not true. Why is it always between a man and a woman? And why is it that some are not crying out, well, I'm really a dog trapped in a man's body? Or a cat trapped in a woman's body. Why is it is either male or female? Because the Bible teaches us very clearly, so God created man in His own image. In the image of God created He him, male and female created He them. So God created you and I in His image, either male or female. If you have been created a male, then you have male body parts. If you've been created a woman, you have woman body parts. God makes no mistakes. We're made in the image of God. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 24, the Bible teaches us that marriage is between one man and one woman. And this is clearly spelled out within the Word of God. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. Marriage is between one man and one woman. This is very clearly spelled out within the pages of the Word of God. It is natural, and in fact it's the only way that man can obey the command of God. Found in Genesis chapter 1 verse 28. And God blessed them. Male and female created He them. Verse 28 of chapter 1. And God blessed them and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply. Replenish the earth. Subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. Marriage between one man and one woman is biblical. It is natural, and it's the only way that we can obey the command of God to be fruitful and to multiply. And it's within a marriage between one man and one woman that a child will receive the greatest measure of stability, to have a mother and to have a father. This is God's original design, and it stands true to this very day. The problem with sodomy is, first and foremost, it is contrary to God's original design. God made them male and female. And God made marriage to be between one man and one woman. The second reason why we have a problem with sodomy is that it is a cause for destruction. It is a cause for destruction. In Genesis, please, chapter 2, in verse number 17, Genesis chapter 2, verse 17, it reads, "But the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die." Go to chapter 3, please, verse number 6. "And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat." So we find here in chapter 2, verse 17, that God places a simple restriction concerning man's obedience. Calls for obedience, and calls for the fact that Adam and Eve were not to eat of this one tree that was forbidden. And God said, "The day that you eat thereof, you will surely die." Then in chapter 3, verse number 6, we find that Eve looked, and she lusted, and she launched, and she ate of the forbidden fruit, gave to her husband, and thereby we have the entrance of sin into the world. And with the entrance of sin into the world, we see that man's sinful nature takes expression in a variety of ways. Go to chapter 6, please, of Genesis. Chapter 6, verse number 5, and verse number 11. Genesis chapter 6, verse number 5. "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." Note verse 11. "The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence." So with the entrance of sin into the world, we see that man's sinful nature takes expression in a variety of ways. In verse number 5, the Bible teaches us that his heart is evil continually. Every imagination of the thoughts of his heart are only evil continually. And then in verse number 11, the Bible makes reference to the fact of corruption, that the earth was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. So man becomes violent and his heart entertains evil thoughts continually. And with the universal flood, God judged this generation. The universal flood judged those in Noah's day, but it did not remedy the sinful nature within man. This continues to this day, and it expresses itself in a variety of ways. Note there in Isaiah chapter 53, please. Isaiah chapter 53. In verse number 6 it reads, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all." So the Bible teaches us that we are like sheep that have strayed. And we've all gone our own way. Now that's in reference to directly the issue of sin. The issue of sin. So sin and the sinful nature within the heart of man continues to this very day to express itself in a variety of ways. "For every man has turned his own way," the Bible teaches us. "For all we like sheep have gone astray and turned his own way." The Bible teaches us that we are born with a sinful nature. Jesus Christ said to Nicodemus, "That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. I say unto you that ye must be born again." We need that second birth. We need a birth from above, a spiritual birth, because the Bible teaches us that we were born with a sinful nature and the wages of sin is death. Your physical birth, my physical birth, disqualified you and I from entering God's heaven. But thanks be to God that Jesus Christ died on the cross. And on the cross he shed his blood for your sin, for my sin. And when we repent of our sin, we acknowledge that we are sinful in need of a Savior, and we believe the gospel, the death, burial, and the resurrection of Christ, and we turn from our sin and receive the Lord Jesus personally as Savior and Lord, we are born again from above. We receive a new nature. We receive the Spirit of God. But the Bible teaches us, in iniquity I was conceived, and in sin did my mother conceive me, said the psalmist in Psalm 51. We are born with a sinful nature, and that is why we sin. We are not born liars. No, we lie because we have a sinful nature. We are not born cheats. No, we cheat because we have a sinful nature. A person is not born a fornicator. A person fornicates because they have a sinful nature. A person is not born a sodomite. They choose the sinful lifestyle of sodomy because they have a sinful nature. That's what the Bible teaches. And the problem with sodomy is that it is not only contrary to God's original design, number one, it is the cause of destruction, for the Bible teaches us the wages of sin is death. Please turn with me to Genesis chapter 18. Genesis chapter 18. So we have a sinful nature, the Bible teaches us, and that sinful nature expresses itself in a variety of ways. And here in Genesis chapter 18, I'd like for us to note, please, verse number 20. And the Lord said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous. Go to chapter 19, verses 4 and 5, please. Genesis 19, 4 and 5. But before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed or surrounded the house. Compass the house round, both old and young, all the people from every quarter. And they called unto Lot and said unto him, where are the men which came in to thee this night? Bring them out unto us, that we may know them. Go to chapter 19, verses 24 and 25. Genesis chapter 19, 24 and 25. And the Lord rained upon Sodom and Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And he overthrew those cities and all the plain and all the inhabitants of the cities and that which grew upon the ground. Note verses 27 and 28 of Genesis 19. And Abraham got up early in the morning to the place where he stood before the Lord. And he looked toward Sodom and Gomorrah and toward the land of the plain. And behold, and lo, the smoke of the country went up as the smoke of a furnace. One of the ways that man expresses his sinful nature is within the lifestyle of sodomy. And this has been a problem from the beginning of human history, as we see spelled out here in Genesis chapter 18 and 19. And God clearly reveals His feelings, does He not, on those that choose and continue within this lifestyle. The Bible is very clear that sodomy warrants the judgment of God. Note then chapter 18 verse 20 once again. The Bible made reference to the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah as cities that had peoples that sinned very grievously. So the Bible is very clear that sodomy warrants the judgment of God. And this is the reason for the destruction of these two neighboring cities. They were dominated by this sinful lifestyle, according to God's standard. And this is clearly evident. So the Bible teaches us that God destroyed the city of Sodom and the city of Gomorrah because of the prominent sin of sodomy. And God said, enough is enough. This sin is very grievous in my sight. And you'll find there in chapter 19, in verse number 24, that the Lord rained upon Sodom and Gomorrah brimstone and fire. It's of interest to me that the first mention of fire in the Bible is here in Genesis chapter 19, verse 24. And it's in reference to judgment. And it's in reference to judging the sinful lifestyle of sodomy. In Proverbs chapter 14, verse number 34, the Bible teaches us that righteousness exalts a nation. For sin is a reproach to any people. Righteousness will elevate a nation. When a nation elevates the principles found within the eternal Word of God, God will elevate that nation. God will bless that nation. But when a nation chooses to set aside the standards of God and elevate sin, that is a reproach. That is a shame. And that will bring judgment upon that nation. Righteousness exalteth a nation, for sin is a reproach to any people. If righteousness is upheld upon this land and within this land, God will bless this land. And I thank God for many of our Christian forefathers that have upheld the principles found within the eternal Word of God. But the way of all the earth is the way of all the earth, and man was conceived in sin. And man is not evolving into a better creature, he is deteriorating and giving greater expression of his sinful nature. And this is why we have this epidemic worldwide concerning the acceptance of sodomy today. It's an epidemic. It's an expression of the sinful nature. The problem of sodomy. The problem of sodomy because, number one, it is contrary to God's original design. It is contrary to the Word of God. Mr. Zimmerman can say all that he likes, that sexuality is as innate as the colour of your skin, but that is not true. That is not proven scientifically, and it is contrary to the Word of God. God made man, God made woman. God made man with an attraction to man, and God created a woman to an attraction. God made man to be attracted by the woman and the other way around. You know what I mean. It is natural, it is normal, it is biblical. Anything contrary to that is an expression of the sinful nature. The sinful nature. And the Bible teaches us that sodomy is a problem because it is contrary to God's original design, number one. And sodomy is also a problem Has anybody said the rest of my notes? It is the cause of destruction. It is the cause of destruction. And God rained judgment upon Sodom and Gomorrah because of the sin of sodomy. Sin, like sodomy, will lead to physical and spiritual death. But there is hope, the Bible teaches us, for the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Man sins because he has a sinful nature. But the good news is that Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins. And he shed his blood that you and I might receive forgiveness and have a home in heaven. And thirdly, this morning I'd like for us to note concerning the problem of sodomy. It is not only contrary to God's original design. It is not only the cause for destruction. And that's very clearly spelled out within the book of Genesis. But thirdly, the Bible teaches us it is a chosen deviation. It is a chosen deviation. It is a sinful lifestyle choice. Nobody is born a sodomite. It is a sinful lifestyle choice. It is a chosen deviation. Let's turn to Romans chapter 1, please, and I'd like to confirm that very fact from the Word of God. In Romans chapter 1, Romans chapter 1, note verses 18 to 21, please. It reads, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them. For God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." The essence of verses 18 to 20 is that God will judge unrighteousness. God will judge ungodliness. God has revealed himself through creation. God has revealed himself within the heart of mankind. Every man, woman, and child has a knowledge of God within their heart, and they have the knowledge of God in creation. And therefore, God holds man accountable. And therefore it rightfully reads there at the end of verse 20, "So they are without excuse." We read on in verse 21. "Because that," why is man without excuse? Why is it that God will judge the ungodly and the unrighteous? Let's read on. Because that when they knew God, had a knowledge of God, a knowledge of God via conscience, a knowledge of God via creation, they glorified him not as God, did not give him his worthy honour, neither were thankful, but became vain, empty, futile in their imaginations. And their foolish hearts, a man that does not honour God is a fool within their heart. In fact, the Bible teaches us in Romans 14:1, "The fool hath said there is no God." Note verse 22, "Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like unto corruptible man." The ungodly have brought God down to their level instead of looking up to God on his throne. Like corruptible man to birds and full-footed beasts and creeping things. Note verse 24. You still following along? Problem with sodomy is that it's a chosen deviation. Note in verse 24. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. Underline that little statement there. To dishonor their own bodies between themselves. Verse 25. Who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator. The Creator who is blessed forever. Amen. Note verse 26. Follow along, please. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections. Vile affections. How does God interpret a vile affection? For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. What does God mean? Verse 27. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman. Leaving the natural use of the woman. Burned in their lust one towards another. Men with men. Working that which is unseemly. And receiving in themselves that recompense, that judgment of their error, which was meet, which was deserving. Verse 28. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, that are not acceptable. The problem with sodomy is that it is contrary to original design, number one. Number two, it is the cause of destruction, like all sin. And number three, it is a chosen deviation. And according to Romans chapter 1, verses 18 and following, as we have read, it is the result of a rejection of God in one's life. Sodomy is the result of a rejection of God in one's life. As man moves further away from a belief and an honour for the God of creation, man deviates into sin more so. Sodomy is a sinful lifestyle choice that stems back to a rejection of God in one's life. It is not an innate issue, a birth issue, like the colour of your skin. It is a sinful lifestyle choice. And the roots of sodomy and the roots of all sin stems back to a rejection of the God of creation, a rejection of the God of the Bible, a rejection of the Word of God and the God of creation that has made you and I in His image and to bring glory to His name alone. Sodomy is a problem because it is a chosen deviation. Verse 21, because that which they knew, because when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God. Verse 28, even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. God gave them over to a reprobate mind, cast them off to do those things that are not acceptable. My friend, this is why there is such a strong aggression against biblical Christianity from the Sodomite community. Because at the heart of sodomy is a turning of one's back on the God of creation. That's why there's such an aggression. It begins with a rejection of God. It is not innate. It is a sinful lifestyle choice. And when a person rejects the God of the Bible, they open themselves up to fulfill the lusts of the flesh. And a chief lust of the flesh is within the realm of morality. And there you have the issue of sodomy. And the Bible doesn't stop at verse 28. It goes on to read verses 29 and following, being filled with all unrighteousness. Because man rejects God and they choose the sinful lifestyle of sodomy, this is what you'll find within the sodomite community. You'll find unrighteousness, you find fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful. Verse 32, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. The problem of sodomy. It is a problem. Because it's contrary to God's original design. God made them male and female. One man for one woman. The problem of sodomy is that it's the cause for destruction. God destroyed those that were given to sodomy. Righteousness exalted the nation, but sin is a reproach. And if this nation chooses to accept sodomy within the realm of marriage, then God will rain His judgment upon this nation, as other nations. Mark my words. So what do we do with this push for acceptance of this sinful lifestyle choice? What do we do, Pastor? Well, let me ask you the question, what did Jesus Christ do with sin? He said, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. He that is whole needs not a physician, but he that is sick. Jesus Christ said, I've come to seek and to save that which was lost. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. See, God's love is universal, and praise be to God for that. God loves sinners. He provided a Saviour in Jesus Christ for all sinners. And Jesus Christ is willing to save to the uttermost. And may we, like the Apostle Paul of old, be unashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. May we, like the Apostle Paul of old, declare the gospel, the power of God unto salvation, that men, women and children might be delivered from the stronghold of sin that leads to death and to destruction. That's what we need to do. We need to get serious about our Christian lives. We need to get serious about witnessing for Jesus Christ. Oh, they say they're coming out of the closet. Well, I wish more Christians would come out of the closet. Say amen. I wish more Christians would come out of the closet and say, I'm a child of God, and righteousness exalted the nation, and sin is a reproach to any people, and sodomy is a problem because it is contrary to God's design, it is the cause of destruction, and it is a chosen deviation. God loves the sinner, but He hates the sin. Jesus Christ paid for the sin of the whole world, and I want to share with you right now how you can be forgiven and have life eternal. Oh, Christian, let's get serious about witnessing. Let's get serious about preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Sinful man is serious about pushing their sinful agenda. But what about the people of God? What about you and I? Let's get serious about being a witness. Because the hope of the liar, the hope of the cheat, the hope of the fornicator, the hope of the murderer, the hope of the sodomite is not found in reform, it's found in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Do we believe that? Let's be a witness for Christ. And may God help us to unashamedly stand upon the Word of God. The Bible is very clear. What He loves and what He'll judge. But praise God for His love which is universal. And may we reflect that by going into the highways and byways and compelling sinners to come in need of a Saviour. May God help us to be a witness for Christ as never before. Let's pray. Let's stand.